Tappers, what's going on? It is Monday, March the 4th. Hope you guys are all doing well, getting ready for another work week in very chilly Wisconsin. It is damn cold, and it is March. There will be a lot of jokes like, are we still in February? When is March going to come? Is March going to come at any time soon? Very popular joke at the water cooler today. Maybe you've already told that joke today. But yeah, anyways, it is damn cold, but we're here to bring you the heat as always. If you're new to the Snow Tap WI game, welcome. This is our daily podcast. We try to get this out 6 days a week. Well, not 6 days, 5 days a week. Or no. You see how this goes. We podcast every day. We get this out about four times a week. And then once a week, we do Tapping the Keg with my boy Mitch Ross. We're doing that tonight. So we'll have that up tomorrow. And then we have the weekend watch list, which I love. That's kind of our Friday pod, getting you sort of ready for the weekend, highlighting all the best local and national games for you to watch. Because there's so much that usually goes on, and you're like, I didn't know this was on. Or, oh yeah, I got to make sure to watch this if you're maybe not the biggest, you know, hoops fan, or you just miss that something's going on. We're there for you. All right, we're going to talk about Marquette and ask a question of if they peak too early given the last two performances we've seen from the Golden Eagles. We're also going to chat a little bit about the Bucks weeks, what they have on deck, talk about that weird Utah loss as well, and then look at the Badgers and if Wisconsin has sort of found maybe a secret recipe for postseason success. So we'll talk about all of that today, but beginning with Marquette. So I was at the Marquette-Creighton debacle, I guess is what best way to describe it. The Marquette had a lead at halftime, but it didn't really feel exactly safe. They struggled mightily throughout this game, kind of looked hungover, kind of looked sloppy, like looked like they spent the entire day out at the Shamrock Shuffle. Not saying they did, but it was pretty bad. It was a pretty awful performance by Marquette. They just did not look themselves. They looked out of sorts, and they kind of wanted to just roll the ball out there and play. And you can't do that against anybody in the Big East. You just cannot. It's not something that you can do and expect to win. And they pissed away a really legitimate special opportunity to win, to be an outright Big East winner. That's what they pissed away last night, and it was just ultimately so frustrating. Marcus Howard had 33 points, great, but he also got himself into so much trouble by throwing himself into traps. There were way too many moments, just not enough ball movement. This team looked like just an absolute piece of shit, and I haven't been mad about Marquette really all year. Like, even when they've lost this year, it hasn't really been that frustrating. It's been, all right, yeah, St. John's, we gave them a good effort. They get blown out by St. John's. They're kind of due for that. You lose to a Kansas team who at that time you thought was maybe one of the best teams in the country. Now we've known that Kansas has not been that good this year, but still, we had no idea. And so all of the Villanova, he was like, yeah, that's frustrating. But again, it was at Villanova. You did miss the golden opportunity, but you kind of pissed it away a little bit. And then in this one, there's no reason to lose this game. This is the kind of the what the fuck sort of loss of the season. I think most college basketball teams have one of these. I went with my boy Pat, who's hooked it up with Marquette all year. Shout out to him and Mike Weber. Also my boy Doe, not a Marquette fan, but he is in a Marquette family now through soon-to-be marriage. And so he was at the game, so I had beers with him after. And both guys were like, you know, obviously I'm upset, but they were talking to me and saying, like, look, these games, this is a good loss. Like, this is fine. Like, you don't want to be the hot team heading into March. Like, if you get on this heater late or early in March, you can sometimes the tire gets blown out the second week of the tournament. I mean, we see it happen often. You know, these teams who get hot in the conference tournament and there's a lot of hype around them, it sometimes doesn't parlay into tournament success. Other times, like a Michigan, where they rode that, what, to the Elite Eight, I think, one year, where Michigan got hot and they took it all the way to the Elite Eight. So, but most of the time that doesn't happen. But the other part of me goes, did this team peak too early? Did this team hit their peak against Providence where they blew them out on the road, looked like one of the best teams in the country? And is it now just, are they regressing a little bit? Is this now, are they back to who Marquette should have been? Did we see the peak of Marquette and that we are never going to get that back and that is gone and lost forever? I don't know. Saying a team peaked early is always a hard thing to balance, because even if they did peak early, there is that opportunity that, well, they could come back from that. They could respond and be, you know, this team again. This is not one of those things where when you peak, if it's like it's sort of out of blue, like if Marquette was not expected to be that good this year and they were this awesome juggernaut, and then they sort like Louisville's a great example of this. Louisville is definitely like a team who nobody expected to be very good. They peaked, you know, at their high top, beating North Carolina on the road, and then they have this mind-numbing loss to Duke, and then they lose a few games after it, barely beat Clemson, nearly throw that one away as well. And so that's where you're like, well, they did peak too early. Now, they're trying to work their way back. They beat Notre Dame, who's not very good this year, but they're trying to sort of get themselves back to that level, to that, you know, where they want to be. I don't know if I'd put Marquette in that mix only because the teams they lost to were Villanova, who's obviously pretty good, was hungry for a win, wanted to sort of make a statement after losing three straight games. And then Creighton, while Creighton's not good, Creighton's now put himself into the bubble conversation, and it's scary to know that the last three teams you face are all bubble teams, or the last two are bubble teams. I think that is a real worry. And so it should be a wake-up call to Marquette that these guys want it bad. And Creighton wanted it more than Marquette from the start of tip-off till the end of the game. They wanted it more, and that's why they won that game. Steve Wojciechowski was way too confident in his team. He needed to have more of a rule, whether it was putting Chartouni as the point guard and letting Howard run off ball with all the screen, with all the traps and everything that was happening. They didn't do enough with screening guys to try to free up Howard, you know, an early screen where I'm saying like set it out at the, you know, middle half court. They weren't doing any of that shit. Marcus Howard wasn't giving up the ball enough. They weren't running guys to Marcus Howard when he was getting trapped. They weren't anticipating the trapping defense. Joey Hauser looked more like a freshman than I think he did in November. Was just completely off his game. I don't know if it was because he got put on a poster early on, but he was awful. Yet Wojo rode with him way too long. And I get that he has more scoring than Brendan Bailey, but Brendan Bailey was more suited for that game than Joey Hauser, and he should have trusted, either he didn't trust his gut or he didn't believe that Bailey could provide the minutes that he wanted. So all of that was wrong. And so I think Marquette this is a good reset. This should be a wake-up call, and hopefully we're not having a conversation about them losing three straight when they go to Seton Hall. Again, another team hunting for a big victory, who is directly on the bubble, one of the last four teams out. That is a dangerous team to play, especially on the road, and that'll be a challenge. So we'll see how Marquette responds. Part of me hopes that this is a statement game for them and they really come out and say, all right, that was just a blip on the radar and we look forward to playing Creighton in New York. That's how I would hope that this would all shake out. As for the Milwaukee Bucks head to Phoenix tonight. They play the Suns. The Suns are they've been playing a little better. I wouldn't call the Suns frisky yet. Like the Atlanta Hawks are frisky. Phoenix Suns aren't frisky. They've won two of their last three. They beat the Lakers, surprisingly, and the Heat. And so they've had a couple of confidence builders under their belt, but still, this is going to be a tough one for them. You know, the Bucks do not like losing to teams two times in a row. They've not had that happen to them this year. It would be ironic if the Suns were the team that did it. The Bucks also haven't had consecutive losses this year. They lost to Utah on Saturday, and so they obviously are looking to bounce back from that. The Jazz-Bucks game was a weird one. I won't even think that it's worth rehashing too much, besides Donovan Mitchell just got hot at the right time, and there's really nothing you can do about it. He made a couple more shots than Giannis did, and that was really the antithesis, you know, kind of the thing that ended Milwaukee in that one. It was tough. It was a really like frustrating game to watch. You know, I was half in the bag out at the shuffle watching at Club Brady, shouts to them. And just, you know, I think there were points where we thought that we were going to escape and win this one without Bledsoe and Brogdon, but at the end of it, it turned out they really did need one of those guys to sort of steady the tide and to take Mitchell, because he just gave everybody buckets yesterday. As for the rest of the week for the Bucks, so they get a nice little breather. They get Tuesday and Wednesday off before Thursday at the Forum on TNT, battling Indiana. Pacers and Bucks have been interesting this year. The Bucks have won 2 of 3 against Indiana. They will go for the series win versus the Pacers on Thursday. The Pacers haven't been to the Forum since they opened it back in October. It should be a fun matchup. It always is with Indy. Giannis, you know, had a big ass game against them last time around. So who knows? Maybe a potential second round playoff preview, as some will say. And as well, for playoff previews, they do face Charlotte on Saturday. Charlotte is a ball buster for Milwaukee. They've had some real battles with the Hornets this year. The small ball has been a factor for the Bucks, and hopefully they can cure that woe that they've had versus Charlotte, fourth time being a charm. They also go for the series win against the Hornets on Saturday night at the Forum. Then a quick back-to-back to face San Antonio on the road. Paul Gasol will have a very quick homecoming. That'll be a interesting one. Spurs are very good at home, so that will not be an easy one for the Bucks. Although they have seemed to have the Spurs number in the last few years for whatever reason. Who knows why that is, but they've played well against San Antonio. So a fun week for Milwaukee, for three playoff teams now in the mix. I think Charlotte's still in the playoff contention in the eighth spot, or they're right around it. So three playoff teams beat Phoenix tonight. You're 4-1 on the road. It's hard to complain about that. If they lose, I mean, 3-2 is still okay, but it's like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed, because there's no reason you should lose. If you're the best team in the NBA, you don't lose to Phoenix. And then the three-game stretch you have with Indiana, Charlotte, San Antonio, kind of hope 2-1 there. Obviously, you'd like to kind of get going. You don't have a lot of leeway with the Raptors. Did help that Toronto lost to Detroit on Sunday. And Pistons are red hot. Good thing the Bucks avoided that. I mean, they have played the Pistons 4 times. They beat them all 4 times. But the Pistons are on fire, almost to where they might be moving up to the 6th spot. They are 1 game under 500, or they just hit 500. Dwayne Casey has flipped the switch for this Pistons team. Reggie Jackson has been pretty good in spots, and they've really kind of stepped it up here. So let's see here. Right now, the Pistons have moved to the 6th spot at 31-31. Nets have been struggling of late, so they've moved up to the 6th spot. They are currently scheduled to play Indiana, a team they've played all right against. Hornets are out of the playoffs, by the way. They are in a deadlock with Orlando, but Orlando has the tiebreaker against them. The Heat are a half game out of that spot, which is, it's just a gross 8 seed. 5 games under 500 to be the 8 when you have But you do, I guess you don't have like you don't have multiple teams over 500 in the West. Sacramento is 31-31 at the 9 spot. So it's not as disgusting as I thought it was. There would be some claims, well, if LeBron was in the East, the Lakers, they'd be in the playoffs. Lakers, just huge mess right now. All right, wrapping up the podcast with the Badgers headed back to college basketball. I thought it was really interesting that the Badgers won against Penn State really with the support of their bench, which hasn't really been a thing for Wisconsin this year. Brevin Pritzel has 17 points. He shaved that awful goatee, and maybe that was the reason that he was so good in the game. He had 4 threes. He was big in a 61-57 victory. You also had Kobe King have 8 points and really was a force in the first half for the Badgers, even though they trailed the Penn State. I mean, they were down 31-22 at half, really did not have it. Badgers were sloppy at best. I mean, both schools here in Wisconsin were not good. You know, Nate Reavers, Davidson, and Dimitri Trice combined for shooting 4-for-21 from the field. I mean, it was really awful early on. Ethan Happ got pulled early. He struggled. I think he missed his first 4-to-6 shots. He got pulled and yanked from the game. He did recover, had a nice stat stuffer night with, you know, a bunch of rebounds, assists, steals. But yeah, it was mostly about that bench, and that really propelled Wisconsin. And if Wisconsin can get that kind of scoring, they can beat, you know, virtually anybody. They have the defense to compete. They just need to have that guard play. That is what is needed for Wisconsin to win in March. That is the blueprint, right? It doesn't have to be one guy on the perimeter. It just has to be one. Whether it's Davidson, whether it's Pritzel, whether it's King, whether it's Trice, any of those guys need to contribute somewhere within the range of 12 to 18 points for really to get that peak Wisconsin, to get that Badger team that I think could go very far. Now, it's very true that Wisconsin could lose to a team in the first round, because if they go cold and they have to just trust their defense and trust Ethan Happ, and he has to be the sole sort of breadwinner on that team, that's a bad recipe for Wisconsin. So I think Mitch and I might talk about, you know, what concerns and what things, positive things we have about the local teams heading into March as we are ramping up the college basketball season. The season ends on Sunday, and then we go into conference tournament, championship week, always fun, and then the tournament itself is only 2 weeks away. Selection Sunday is less than 2 weeks away on St. Patrick's Day. We'll see if there are any luck. I mean, there really isn't a luck of the Irish because Notre Dame is not very good. If any team does get lucky, we'll see. Marquette and Wisconsin both hovering around the 4 seed now that Marquette lost to Creighton. So this is obviously going to be a big week for both teams. Badgers get a few days off before playing Iowa, which is very nice late in the season to get sort of an extended break, get you more time to practice. They are home, which always helps. And Iowa is kind of a mess right now, losing the last two. No Fran McCaffrey for that game as he cussed out a referee and drew a 2-game suspension. I expect Fran to be like in a mustache, just hanging out in the stands, like Bobby Valentine type shit. And then they realize it's Fran because he's just fucking yelling and screaming at people. That's what McCaffrey does. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with Tapping the Keg. I will talk to you guys on Wednesday on the Daily Tap. See you later, and beer's on me. Have a good chilly Monday.